We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth, Randy McMichael. Glad to be with you on this Monday. Hope your weekend was well. Hope your Easter, your Passover, whatever you celebrate. Hope you had a great time over the weekend. Randy, I think you did some grilling out.
Yeah, man, I had a good weekend. Yesterday was more or less spring cleaning. You know, did a lot of outside stuff around the house. Me and the missus, while the kids ran around and acted like kids, got in the way of everything. But, yeah, overall, it was a good weekend. Had a... nice weather. I mean, especially coming from Saturday, how chilly and rainy it was up in Athens. And then to wake up yesterday morning, and it's just perfect yesterday. I mean, it was a perfect, perfect spring afternoon.
Yeah, it was. Saturday was, man, that was kind of yucky looking Saturday morning. Yeah. And then it got a little better as the day went on. And then yesterday, same here, yesterday morning, it was kind of foggy and, you know, kind of cloudy. And you know, we came out of church yesterday morning, and all of a sudden it was blue skies and sunshine and heck of a good day. Heck of a good day. All right, we got a lot to get into today. We will talk some, as you just heard Randy talk about with John and Hugh just a moment ago. We'll talk a little bit about G-Day, because Randy and I, we were both in Athens on Saturday. We'll dig into the Falcons' schedule as well coming up later on. We'll talk about some of these moves the Falcons have made and how what's happening with the Falcons now in free agency. Maybe is that telling us something about what the draft is will look like? Peter Moylan, by the way, former Braves reliever and currently part of the Braves telecast crew on Fox Sports South. He'll be with us about an hour and 20 minutes or so from right now. So we look forward to getting the opportunity to chat with him. Randy, let's hop into some of the headlines from over the weekend. Let's start first with G-Day. We were there. We talked a little bit about the crowd, some blah weather. You know, it's hard enough now because the television experience has gotten, in my opinion, especially in the sport of football, right, it has gotten so good. It's hard to want to get up off the couch now. But to put 50,000 in there, a little over 50,000, with some bad weather on a spring game, on a game that's meaningless, right, says a lot about the Georgia fan base and, again, the expectations for 2019.
Oh, yeah, they came out, they showed up, and you're talking about the weather, you're talking about the holiday weekend, really didn't know what to expect. But, I mean, overall, it's a great crowd. And, I mean, that just comes with expectations, man. I mean, Dog Nation, we're so excited. We know that we've, especially last year, came up short, had a disappointing end to the season, but everybody's excited about this year. And like you say, it's a glorified scrimmage. I didn't learn a lot about it from, didn't learn a lot about anything. You know, you saw some really good individual performances, which we'll get into in the next segment. But overall, my main objective was nobody got hurt. And I mean, I think that was my biggest thing, my number one thing going into it, because like you said, our show, College Football Game Time, we were up there at Grindhouse. Thanks again. Shout out to our guy Johnny, who always takes care of us. But my main thing was nobody get hurt. That was my thing. And Swift carrying the ball three times surprised me, because I didn't think he was going to touch the football at all. But, I mean, you just saw that the ability that he has to make people miss an open field, which is good.
We'll get to that in our next segment. We'll talk a little more about G-Day. You mentioned Swift. The one takeaway that I had – from G-Day, and we knew it going in. We talked about it even on Saturday. Man, this group of backs, Randy, if Zamir White gets healthy, these guys are going to be – they're going to be hell to pay every Saturday in the SEC.
Yeah, and you saw Brian Herring. He looked good. He's a senior guy. James Cook, a little banged up, but the kid – the one thing I saw about him, that training table worked, because he looks a lot bigger than he did last year coming in, you know, coming in as a true freshman, got a chance to do a whole offseason program. Looks like he got a little bit, you know, like he put a little girth on him. And then Zamir White, he's the X factor, I think, Chris. I really think that he's going to be that, of course, he's going to be that power back. But I don't think people realize how explosive this dude is when he's in open field. Like, he's not going to get caught.
Right.
You know, now he's not as fast as someone talking about long speed as Todd Gurley. But when he gets in open, he's not going to get caught.
I am probably the only guy who watched the Braves last night over Game of Thrones. But
The game was out of reach by the time, you know, Game of Thrones came on. But, you know, I mean, it's a lot of people. Like, I got Bo Johnson, who's producing today, you know, big Game of Thrones like I am. And I was about to talk to him. Yo, what happened? What'd you think of last night's episode? I haven't seen it yet, so I won't spoil it for him. I enjoyed it. You know, my girl, her nude scene, it kind of threw me off a little bit. But, you know, that hopefully I'll get over that. Because, you know, so there's some things that you can't unsee. Like, I did not want to see that at all. But, yeah, the Braves, I mean, what can you say, man? Everybody got a hit. They looked good. Max Fried, man, I'm telling you. Does he look like he's a future ace of this team?
Yeah. Is there not a little bit of Tom Glavine in him?
He has it. And he's like, he's unflappable. You know, I mean, he just seems like, you know, he had a rough first inning, but after that he settles down. And, I mean, this young man, I mean, listening to the broadcast and them talking about, like, his idol or whatever you want to call it, Sandy Koufax, and how he watched black and white film of Sandy and trying to take away some of the some of his pitching style I was like, he got an old, old soul.
Yeah.
Old, old soul.
Yeah. Braves won it last night, 11-5.
And that will do it. The Atlanta Braves, loud offensively yet again tonight. They take 2 out of 3 in the series.
Matt Vasgersian with a call last night on ESPN. Braves get the win, 11-5. He said, what was it he said there? He said something about the loud bats from the Braves. Anybody else notice, where in the world is that microphone at on the Sunday night baseball games? I've noticed, at first I thought, is this my TV? Is it just because I noticed it a couple of weeks ago, and at first I was like, okay, maybe it's the stadium they're playing in. I don't know. And no, last night, man, it was like somebody lit off a firecracker every time somebody made contact.
Chris, I said that last week when they played on Sunday night down here. I was like, is it me or is it my – I said the same thing. Is it my TV? Because every hit looked like it was going out the park. I mean, I don't know where the mic is, but, I mean, you hear the loudest crack. And I swear to you, I was like, okay, that's gone. And it's a hit to the shortstop.
It almost sounds like it's fake, right? It's like it's a laugh track. It's like it's a laugh track during a baseball game. Braves pick up the win, 11-5. Josh Donaldson, monster game, 3-for-4, 2 homers, 4 RBIs. As Randy mentioned, all the starters had a hit. 5 guys had multiple hits yesterday. Freddie Freeman goes 3-for-4, 2 RBIs. Max Fried, fantastic. Bullpen does what the Braves bullpen does.
Yes, they do.
They came in, they gave up 3 runs late.
But they only overcame. And Bo just told me in my ear that ESPN puts mics on all the bases. So that's why I mean, it kept throwing me off. But again, you said it. The bullpen was the bullpen. You know, it was a great game yesterday. And I'm talking about, what about game 2 of the doubleheader where I know I was mad. I was just over there pouting and everything. Because I'm not in panic mode about my Braves, but I am in pee-off mode about them. But for them to come back like that in the ninth inning. But how about my man JD, Big Josh? I mean, going back to Cleveland where they brought him over for Toronto and all that. But, I mean, he was on one last night.
He was. By the way, Mike Foltynewicz made his final rehab start yesterday. Velocity is back. So I guess we will see him Friday night. Bo's excited about this. Foltynewicz back on the mound Friday night at home. It's also Ronald Acuna bobblehead night. You think there'll be a little bit of a crowd at SunTrust?
Well, that's always great. And I know that nobody knew really what was going to happen with Folty. I thought that he would probably be out till the 1st of May with the injury. But, I mean, he hasn't looked good his last 3 rehab starts.
No, he hadn't.
He hasn't. But if they say he's healthy and ready to go, I mean, you can never go wrong with having your best pitcher out there and trying to solidify this rotation because, I mean, we talked about, you know, these young guys. Tookie came up, pitched the other day, and got shellacked. And where do they go? He sent him back to Gwinnett, and I think they're bringing back Kyle Wright. So, I mean, you just don't know what these young pitchers. And I'm getting a little frustrated because every time you talk or listen to people talk about the Braves, the first thing you talk about outside of Ronald Acuna is, well, they got all these arms on the in the minor league system. Well, I mean, they're not getting the job done. They're not getting the job done, Chris.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. We're going to get more into that a little bit later on. Braves have today off. They'll open up a 3-game series in Cincinnati against the Reds, and then it's back home. We mentioned the Rockies coming in on Friday. Atlanta United, they drop a 2-1 decision to FC Dallas on Saturday. United now 1-3-2 on the year. Randy, you talked about your frustration level with the Braves being a little PO'd, as you put it.
Yes.
Where are you with Atlanta United right now?
After that game, irritated. Because you can't blame that on Frank. Everybody wants to get mad at Frank DeBoer and all that. You can't get mad about that. They just can't score. I mean, I was reading. I'm like, hold on. Because, if you listen to our broadcast, our feed here on 92.9 The Game with Mike Conte, Mike was so up and down with his voice. Because, I mean, they kept having shots on goal, Chris. But they couldn't put it in the net. I mean, their only goal was a PK goal by Yosef Martinez. But they just can't score. I mean, Barco looks so good. But, I mean, and it was a frustrating game because Dallas was flopping and, you know, rolling all on the ground like somebody shot him in the leg and all that. But, yeah, it's frustrating because we're so accustomed to one thing here. And for them to be struggling the way they are, and I know, talk about CONCACAF earlier, they were worn out. Well, they had time to prepare now. And they just got to figure it out because this ain't what we signed up as United fans. We ain't signed up for this.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth, Randy McMichael with you this afternoon. We're here till 2 o'clock. We run down the headlines. Randy, you spent a decade in the National Football League in a professional locker room. There was an article on ESPN.com. It was about a week and a half ago. I don't know if you saw it, about Atlanta United. And the writer of the article says, and again, you can find this, ESPN.com, sources say some players are chafing against, talking about Frank DeBoer, against his more conservative, more disciplined approach. Players feel like his sending mixed signals with his continual changing of the formations. You've spent a lot of time in locker rooms. You've been on teams that struggled.
Yeah.
Maybe things weren't always copacetic with the coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
What's it like? Take us into that, you know.
One thing about it is that winning cures all, you know, and because you're losing, every little things like that get magnified as far as formations, who he's starting. I think just as the players are trying to get comfortable with the scheme, he's trying to get comfortable with the players. And you can put some of the fault at his feet. You can put some at the players' feet. But right now, nothing seems like it is vibing right now with Atlanta United as far as player coach. And it's a first time for it because they came in, Chris, so early with so much success. That anytime you stub your toe like they are right now, mm-hmm. it's somebody else's fault. It's time to start pointing fingers. And, oh, it's your fault. It's not my fault type thing. And that's where they are right now. And they got to figure this thing out because as talented as they are, and I know that we miss Miguel Amarón because he was such, you know, the point guard of this squad. Now they really don't have that kind of presence. And also, we talked about it last with Mike Conte and talked about it with Jason Longshore. It's your best player, in my opinion, is PT. When you look at him with the ball at his foot, and he played 25 minutes last night trying to get back in shape so he can go a full 90. But until this guy comes around, this team's going to struggle.
Mike Conte, by the way, he'll be with us today at 1:20. We'll talk more about Atlanta United. Then NBA playoffs. Boston finishes off Indiana yesterday. Celtics are 7-0 this year when Gordon Howard scores 20 or more. He scored 20 yesterday. Randy, I guess we're on our way to seeing the Bucks and the Celtics in round two.
You buying the Celtics. I mean, because what happened is, I always thought this all season, they're playing too many guys. They got too many guys. Now Marcus Smart, you can condition your lineup a little bit. But, yeah, Gordon Hayward, he was good. But, you know, Kyrie didn't shoot the ball well. I think the Bucks will sweep them.
I do, too.
I think the Bucks will sweep them.
I do, too.
Boston is so up and down. I mean, they scored 110 points yesterday. That was the most they didn't score. They were in the 80s, the 90s, but there's just something wrong with that squad. You know, I think in this offseason, I think addition by subtraction would be best for them. I think Kyrie needs to go because Kyrie didn't want to go to Boston anyways. You know, when he left Cleveland, he was there, he got traded there, but I don't trust Boston. I don't trust Boston, and I damn sure don't trust Philadelphia.
No, I don't
know. So I think it's Milwaukee, but I like Toronto, what they're doing, but I think just Giannis is on another level. I would love to see that matchup with Giannis going against Kawhi. maybe in the East Conference Finals, because Kawhi is playing at another level too.
Toronto won last night as well. They're up 3-1. Orlando can't keep up with them. But Golden State won.
It was cute, Chris, that first win.
It was.
It was real cute.
It was. Portland, 3-1 series lead over OKC after last night. G-Day was Saturday. We'll talk to the damn good dog, Randy McMichael, about what he saw on Saturday from his Georgia Bulldogs. We'll do that next. Chris Goforth, Randy McMichael, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
We didn't have a lot of opportunities for havoc because we didn't have our whole, I mean, we only had one five-man pressure, one blitz, one call that you could do. I mean, we want to find out what the players can execute. That's not the purpose of a spring game. We continue to work on havoc, and it's going to be a big word for us all year.
Hashtag havoc. That's going to be the word for Georgia football
like
this year, Randy.
It needs to be.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth, Randy McMichael. The Monday after G-Day, we get a chance to come in and break it down for you. Take me back, Randy, to your days as a player at UGA. I'm going to imagine that spring practicing ending was pretty much the equivalent to like the first day of summer break when you're in seventh grade, right? I mean, it's like,
yeah, pretty much.
Thank God this is over.
Yeah, I mean, it went as this. I remember as a freshman, sophomore. Redshirt freshman, my first spring, I was so excited. Oh, yeah, I can't wait to get in the stadium and show the fans. And then by the last one, I was like, please, don't get hurt. Go play, have fun, and go practice and play hard and everything. Because I remember one year, we didn't have a G-Day when I was up there because they were redoing the field. So we had it at the Buttsman at the practice field that one year. But, I mean, you don't learn anything, like Kirby said. And the chaos thing I like, and I was reading up on it. And now here are the stats for 100 plays for the defense, all right? Now, this is the chaos. That 7 sacks. 9 tackle for losses, 2 interceptions, 10 pass breakup. That's chaos. That's chaos you want, even though it was in a spring game and all that, it doesn't count or whatever. But, I mean, that's what he wants. He wants to always, if you're a Bill Belichick, Nick Saban, disciple, whatever, stop the run. That's the first thing that he wants to do. He wants to stop the run, make you one-dimensional. The next one, he wants to harass the guy with the ball, and that's the quarterback. And when the last couple of years of Georgia, we've had some good performance. We haven't been a dominant pass rushing team. And I think that's what he tried to get out of the spring game, because you're not blitzing. It's basically man on man. And I know you were talking about you wanted to see a lot of Nolan Smith. Well, he was kind of quiet, but he was going against maybe the best left tackle in the country, you know, Andrew. And he frustrates a lot of people because you don't get past him.
We talked a lot on Saturday about the secondary. What do you make out of the play of Eric Stokes with a pick six? I thought Mark Webb gave you some good time as well in the secondary.
Well, I thought Eric Stokes he probably played the best of any of the Bulldogs in the spring game. You talk about his matchup with Holloman. I mean, those guys were going back at it. He did what you do on defense, man. If you could score a touchdown on defense, that's always an added bonus. But I thought overall he was playing well. He put his nose in there in the run game. Another guy, N'Kobe Dean, the true freshman linebacker. I mean, he was all over the field. You see the potential that he has to maybe get in the mix.
Yeah, I don't see how he's not on the field, you know, a lot.
And you saw last year when Kirby, what him and Mel Tucker would do is that when they would do wholesale changes, they would do the same thing at the linebacker position too as far as the D-line. They would put in a coverage linebacker and stuff like that. So that young man's going to get some time.
When you talk about the back end of this Georgia defense, and I do believe, Randy, they've got a chance to be. They can be pretty good. They can be really good, yeah. I think. The back end of it, that secondary, it's got to start with Richard LeCount.
Yes.
I mean, he looks the part. He's got all the stars, all the billing, all that stuff. It's time to play the part now for him.
Yeah, and he has to be more consistent. And we talk about all the time, you hear Kirby, he's one of Kirby's projects, you say. Kirby's always all over him, but you got him and Reed, they're veterans back there, played a lot of ball. Tyson Campbell, can he bounce back from being exposed a little bit as a true freshman, but has all the talent in the world. Another kid they got out of Florida, Stevenson, he played well on Saturday, I should say. So, yeah, they're deep, Chris. They got a lot of stars, and I mean 5- and 4-star guys back there, but they're still young. They got experience, but a little bit last year. And as we were talking on our show, College Football Game Time, that was one of my concerns was, yeah, they're talented, but they're so young. And that's the biggest thing when you lose a guy like a DeAndre Baker who, hey, you go get that guy. All right, we'll take care of everybody else.
Yeah.
You get that guy, and we'll play around you. But now they don't have that. And the performance yesterday by, I'm sorry, I keep saying yesterday, Saturday by Eric Stokes just gives you confidence.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth, Randy McMichael. On a Monday after G-Day, we talk a little bit about what went down Saturday in Athens. Randy, you always want them to throw it to the tight ends.
Of course.
You always want to see the tight end get the ball more. Yeah. Charlie Warner had 5 catches, 44 yards. Maybe more importantly for him, I think, and for Georgia's offense, he looked like he handled what he had to do from a blocking standpoint well.
Well, Charlie, that's not his strong suit, but at the same time, he's a try-hard guy when it comes to blocking, Chris. He's not going to overwhelm you a lot. And when you're in a situation like he is, all you got to do is just cover your man up. All right, cover your man up and allow these great backs to make a cut if they're running off your block or something like that. But, yeah, I always want that. And, you know, the receiving position, Holloman, he is who he is. I mean, it wasn't a lot of – he had a big play. Langley? He had a big play. Landers, I'm sorry. Landers had a big play. But overall, I mean, the quarterback play was all right. You know, that's how I looked at it. It was all right. Jake Fromm didn't do anything special, you know. Stetton, he was pretty good. But, he made a couple throws. But DeJuan Mathis, you see the potential of what they're going to be able to do with this guy. He has freakish athletic ability. He's big. He has a great arm. He's just raw, you know. And when we talk about the backup quarterback at Georgia, we pray that nothing happens to Jake Fromm. Because if Jake Fromm goes down, it's going to be rough. We'll be in the Outback Bowl or something if Jake Fromm goes down.
Well, let's hear from Kirby Smart on his wide receiving core.
No. I never feel more confident about our receiving core because we just don't have numbers. It's the thinnest position. I mean, their D-line tight end, it's probably more concerning than tight end only because those guys play on special teams and we lost a tremendous amount of special team snaps out of our wide receiver room.
How concerned are you?
I mean, the kids have talent. I wish we would have got to see Demetrius Robinson, who was sick, and that was disappointing, I think, because a lot of people wanted to see this young man and what he's been able to do as far as over the spring practice. But, yeah, they're thin. You got Simmons and Kerry Jackson and guys like that who – got a little, you know, they're good players. Are they great elite players? I mean, coming out of high school, they were, but I mean, they're still green. They haven't got a lot of playing time. It's on Holloman right now. I mean, he has to be your number one guy, and we don't know what Demetrius Robinson is. We know he's talented, Chris, but we need to see more of him. And Kirby's right. When you go to a school like Georgia or Bama, these guys, they put their starting receivers and tight ends and linebackers. They put them on special teams. You know, and I know, remember, when Zeus got hurt in a practice, he was on the punt return team. And everybody was upset about that. Well, you're Georgia. I saw DeAndre Swift covering a punt. I mean, you're going to play special teams because Kirby, his whole philosophy is you try and put the best 11 on the field at all times.
As you mentioned, that backup quarterback spot probably still yet to be determined, right? I mean, Stetson Bennett, I thought he again, right. As you mentioned, I thought he looked pretty good. DeJuan Mathis. Again, there were flashes when you could see what that kid could do.
Yeah.
Then there were also times when he looked like a freshman.
Yeah, and it's going to happen, you know, and that's the part of growing. That's why when you talk about these early enrollees, when they get in there, especially the quarterback position, you're pretty much changing everything because what is the majority of high school nowadays? Everybody looks to the sideline. You know, they don't do that at Georgia anymore. You know, everything's being signaled in and stuff like that. So, he's going to go through – some growing pains, but at the same time, you see the ability that this kid has. And if Jake Fromm decides to leave as a junior next year to go into the NFL draft, then you got the potential to have some kind of versatility at the quarterback that you haven't had since Shock.
Right.
You know, you have a guy that can do some certain things with his legs. So I'm excited to see how this young man grows. He's still got a long way to go, but from what you saw Saturday, it looks like he might be all right.
Stetson Bennett, a little more of the – what do you want to call it? The typical drop back pocket passer kind of guy.
He's a little dude too. He ain't the biggest dude. Yeah, that's why I know. Like, he ain't the biggest guy back there. But
no, he's not.
A guy who left, went to JUCO, came back. Right now looks like
you got to respect that kid though, don't you? I mean, he came to Georgia as a walk on. Wasn't going to happen. He buried on the depth chart. Goes to junior college and comes back this time. Earns himself a scholarship when he comes back.
It looks like you know that he's going to be penciled in as a backup to Jake Fromm, a guy who the best thing about him coming back to Georgia is the familiarity that he has with the school, with the system and all that. Because even though Coley is the new OC, a lot ain't changed, Chris. I mean, he's gonna put some of his wrinkles in there that he, you know, as far as in the passing game, but we know where Georgia's butt is gonna be. It's gonna be in that run game.
you don't worry too much about Jake Fromm. We talked on Saturday about you know, just kind of his, the way his season went. Chuckery brought up the fact that he had 30 touchdown passes last year. I went back and looked, Randy. Last six games for Jake Fromm, 17 touchdowns, two interceptions.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not worried about Jake at all. I mean, I mean, as much as we're talking about Stetson and DeJuan, they weren't spectacular. But I mean,
no,
Jake was just averaging that game. I mean, it's not really that big a deal. Of course, you wanted to see him be sharper, no doubt. But I mean, I'm not making a big deal out of him. He's played a lot of ball. He has commanded the offense, and more importantly, he has commanded that team.
Well, you go look around college football, there were some other quarterbacks who were a lot less proven than Jake Fromm that had some ugly spring games. Here's Georgia football coach Kirby Smart on the biggest area of growth for Jake Fromm.
I think leadership was the biggest thing he took a step forward in, and assessing his personality on the receivers, on the O-line, not being timid to step up and say things to guys when things need to be said. And not that he's ever been afraid to do it, but I think he's asserted himself more.
I think those things there, that's what you get from Jake Fromm that don't show up in a stat sheet or a box score, Randy. Just that guy that can kind of settle everybody down, pull everybody together when it needs to be done. And you got a guy that's been through the war. We talked about the running backs already. Again, this group is going to be really, really good. Swift didn't play much. You know what you got there. Oh, James Cook looked good. You mentioned Brian Herrien. I think he's maybe a little more of a threat coming out of the backfield to catch the ball, maybe than what any of us gave him credit for.
He's a guy, like I said, he's a veteran, and whenever he gets his opportunity, he always takes advantage of it, Chris, because last year they didn't come like I'm sure he wanted them to, but you saw in that Texas game, I think he's the only one that showed up wanting to play. I mean, he ran hard, and that's what he gives you right there. I mean, it's a great room. And I think just everybody, we're so excited about the room, but we're waiting to see Zeus. We are waiting to see Zamir White and see what he can do once he's given an opportunity to play in the game.
One other quick college football note that I wanted to mention as we wrap up and we get ready to go to the NFL and talk a little bit about the Falcons. But your old coach from the NFL, Randy, Nick Saban, having hip surgery today.
Yeah, man. I mean, okay, he's a coach. He's having surgery. I mean, so Nick could be on the shelf for a while, but no, I don't believe so. They got this little break away from the team or whatever, so he can lay up in bed, and Miss Terry can bring him some tea and everything. He'll be all right, man.
He said the only bad part about having the surgery was that he wasn't going to be able to play golf this summer.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, that'll just give me extra time to break down film.
I mean, but if you ever get a chance to talk to Nick Saban, he swears he's the greatest athlete ever. I mean, he will always preach and praise how great of an athlete that he is, and he still is. But now he's on the shelf with a hit with a bad hip and everything. So like, again, not that big a deal. But it's kind of funny when he talks about it, because he's always breaking down some film now. I mean, he thinks football 24/7.
The NFL schedule is out. Falcons don't play a division game until November 10th after the bye week. We'll talk about the Falcons schedule when we come back. Chris Goforth, Randy McMichael, live from the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth, Randy McMichael from the Kia Studios. If you're wondering why we're here today, or, well, you may be wondering why I'm here. Randy's pretty much always here.
Stop.
I mean, Randy works like 7 days a week.
It seems like it, don't it?
We call him Coffee because he grinds all the time.
Really? Really?
All right. The reason why we're here today is it is Earth Day, and Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and our parent company, Intercom, asking everybody to do one thing to improve the environment every day. Intercom and Sports Radio 92.9 The Game ask you to do one thing. What's your one thing? If you want to learn more, go to the #1thingus.com. Now, as part of our initiative here, we're working with Metro Atlanta Urban Farm. It's located over in College Park, just minutes from downtown. They depend at Metro Atlanta Urban Farm solely on donations, grants, and program revenue. Our guys, you heard John and Hugh there this morning, our staff from 92.9 The Game there today, helping, working, donating, and making a difference. You can do the same. Go to, again, it's the #1thingus.com. DunkinUS.com. This is also being sponsored today by Dunkin' Donuts. And who doesn't love Dunkin' Donuts, especially on a Monday morning? And King of Pops, Atlanta's favorite local popsicle maker, celebrating their 9th birthday. Peter Moylan, Braves reliever, joining us coming up at about 30 minutes or so from right now. We'll visit with Peter Moylan. We'll also take a look at some NFL news and notes coming up as we kick off the 11 o'clock hour. First, though, Randy, let's talk Falcons schedule for a minute. Came out last week. I'm sure most folks by now, you've probably had a chance to see it. You've probably heard some of these numbers. 6 out of the first 9 games for the Falcons are against playoff teams. I think the opening to the Falcons schedule, and I haven't gone and looked at everybody's schedule, but that's a tough way to start the season when you go to Minnesota on a Sunday afternoon and then come home for the home opener a week later in primetime on NBC against the Eagles. That's a tough way to begin things.
Yeah, it is. But the thing with Minnesota is what is Kirk Cousins going to do in his second year up there? I wish it was a night game because he cannot win those for some reason. But it's always tough to start your season on the road. But it's also fun, too. I've done it numerous times that I've started the season on the road. And it's important because even though you're going through training camp, you're going through preseason, all that stuff, Chris, you're still not in your tip-top game shape until at least week 3, where you can just go out and just play all those plays in a row. So it's going to be the conditioning will be the biggest part of that week 1 game. Also, you know, the nerves, that it's opening day and all that stuff, all you got to put that factor into it. But, I mean, there's no reason why the Falcons can't go up to Minnesota and win that football game.
Is it good sometimes to get away from home just to get away from the distractions?
No. I mean, it's always funny that when you talk about playing on the road, it's less distraction because you don't have a lot of the family obligations that you got to get tickets and get everybody, all that stuff situated. But, I mean, I've always enjoyed playing on the road. But, you know, most people do for some reason. But you're talking about you going into a ruckus because Minnesota got a great crowd. That thing, when that Viking hits that horn, or roar, however you do it, yeah, it's going to be rocking. But I think the Falcons have just as good a chance to win that game, though, because Kirk Cousins, you know, he's a fantasy guy. They're down. He's going to get a whole bunch of yards, and a lot of those yards are empty yards. You know, they're not really having an impact on the game.
Did you ever play in a Hall of Fame game?
Yeah, played the year Dan Marino went in. Played against the Bears.
Did you like it?
No.
No?
Mm-mm. No. Even though I played, I think, 7 plays maybe. I think I played 7 plays in the game. Yeah, I mean, just the feel. Now, I'm sure they since I played it, Mr. Benson down in New Orleans gave them money and they have upgraded the field. But nobody likes that extra game. You don't, because first of all, you got to come to camp earlier. And then coming to camp earlier with the old practice rules with Nick Saban wasn't fun either. You know? that wasn't fun either. But, you know, nobody wants to play in that extra preseason game, but it is what it is. And you just got to suck it up. And nowadays, you don't see any of the starters. Like I said, we played 7 plays, the starters did in that game. But now, last year, you didn't see none of the guys play.
Right.
So I think that you won't see Matt. You won't see Julio. You won't see any of your big guys in that game.
Is it a good thing for the young guys, the guy that's trying to get that
53rd,
54th, 55th spot?
Oh, yeah. As much tape, if you're a young player and you're maybe a fringe player or whatever, the more tape you can get in actual game, the better. And as a veteran player, yeah, you don't want to go out there and get hurt. And if you are in for those 7 plays, you're going to give it all those 7 plays like we do. But, you know, you want to be over there with a ball cap and sunflower seeds and watching these young players, because they're the ones who are going to try to make the back end of that roster. Because the Falcons – 47 is probably set right now. You know, it's probably just 6 open spots, really. And I'm adding the draft picks into that 47 or whatever. So you're maybe looking at, when you talk about when training camp starts to when the season starts or when final cutdown is, it's maybe 6 spots. And that's it. And that's on most teams, because most rosters are set and everything.
Wow. Let's get back to the Falcons schedule. There's no Monday night football games on tap. Surprise me too. No Monday night games. Falcons playing again on Thanksgiving. Back on NBC for that 8:20 kick against the Saints. That will be here in Atlanta. 3 games in 11 days for the Falcons. They'll play November 17th at Carolina, the 24th at home against the Bucks, and then home on 4 days later against the Saints on the 28th, Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and another one is we went over the schedule last week when it was released. They only play three outdoor games. They only play three outdoor games. Their first one isn't until that that first game against the Carolina Panthers. I mean, they're going to be a dome, the you know, controlled
Panthers,
climate.
Panthers, 49ers, Bucks. Yeah, is that it? Three.
Yes, that's wow. The only three outside games they got. So, I mean, you can't do it. I love the middle of the season bye week. I mean, that's always great. But I didn't like how they scheduled the division opponents like that. But
we see that more and more. I mean, yeah. This is the NFL trying to massage this thing. They want November and December Sundays to matter.
But see, here's the thing: they all matter, Chris. You only get six. You only promise 16 of these things.
Oh, that's true.
So they all matter. But I mean, some are matter more than others. But when you're talking about when you're playing your division rivals or your division opponents that close together, the one thing it does it cuts down preparation as far as the game plan, because you go back, what didn't work? Okay, let's put that in. You really don't see a lot of teams when you play your division opponents that close together. You don't see a lot of adjustments.
What was the short week like in your day?
So we played on a Monday night, then we came back and played Sunday night, and then played Thursday. So yeah, we played a Monday night game, then came around and played the Sunday night game, and then we played Dallas on Thanksgiving. And we went 3-0 in that stretch.
Did you?
Yeah, because I mean, it's all that when you in that aspect of playing those games, it's all mental, man. Because you're gonna be tired, you're gonna be hurt, you're gonna be sore, and you just got to find a way to grind through it. But I mean, it's not the impossible. Not with this squad. Not with the talent they got on this team.
Did you like playing on Thanksgiving?
It wasn't bad. I mean, because I played in both of them. Now they had the third game.
Right.
Well, yeah, I played up in Detroit. The one in Detroit's quick, fast, and hurry. You get home in time for dinner. The one in Dallas, it's fun because it's Dallas, but you get back at almost midnight. But, no, it's cool.
Chris Goforth, Randy McMichael on this Monday, Earth Day, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We will be joined coming up in about 25 or so minutes from now. Peter Moylan, former Atlanta Braves reliever, he will be with us. We'll also take a look around the National Football League. We'll do that next. We'll get you caught up on what all is happening around the NFL. Randy, we're going to get to the Falcons and some draft stuff a little bit later on. But there is so much stuff that is swirling right now
time,
in the league.
Chris. It's lion time now, man.
Lion time.
It's lion,
I like it.
It's lion time. Oh, now we took him off our board. No, I wouldn't draft him either. I mean, it's lion time. Players starting to drop. And, you know, by probably Thursday morning, it's some blogger or whatever got some old tweets and of some draft prospect and can't wait to, and probably an hour before the draft will drop them and everything. So, yeah, we know what's going to happen this week.
Mel Kiper, by the way, was just on ESPN. He's got Dwayne Haskins going to the Giants at number 6.
I mean, I don't understand why everybody keeps saying that he's going to drop. The Giants need a quarterback, and we'll have Lair Ridley on who covers those teams.
Covered you in your playing days, I understand.
I'm just like, dude, why is Daniel Jones, I think he's a good quarterback. I don't think he's elite. I don't think he's number 6 overall.
No.
You know, and I know.
Is that the Cutcliffe effect with Daniel Jones?
I think it is, because, you know, when you work with the Mannings and their word is bond in the NFL, you know, but I think Dwayne Haskins is the best quarterback in the draft. I think he's better than Kyler Murray. I just think Arizona lines up for them to draft Kyler Murray, which I still don't understand when you just drafted this kid, Josh Rosen, number 10 overall, who some speculation is that my Dolphins are looking into him. So we need a whole lot of help down there. But, yeah, so who knows? But it's lion time, man. It's lion time. This I know. I remember my draft process this week was always stressful because you're getting calls from every team. Every time your phone rings, it's a team. We just want to make sure you got your number for the draft or whatever. You're like, hey, Mom, Philadelphia just called. Might be going there. I mean, the whole week, you're doing is getting phone calls from teams.
Jared Goff, he's going to get a phone call. Rams are going to pick up his fifth-year option for 2020. How much money is this guy set to make in the future? We'll get to that and more as we take a look around the NFL, our NFL News and Notes segment when we return. Chris Goforth, Randy McMichael, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.